Hi, everyone. Hey, what a treat to be able to share this weekend's message with you. And I'm standing in a place that has become very familiar to me and very meaningful to me over these past few years. I'm inside of Vancouver's Mountain View Cemetery. This is 106 acres right here in the heart of East Vancouver. Now, I know this is probably not on anyone's top 10 list of places to visit while you're in Vancouver. Maybe you're thinking, wait, we've seen sermons over the past few weeks at the beach and on the mountaintop and in the forest, and you're recording inside of a cemetery. Jade, you need to get out a little bit more and explore. Well, that may be true. But let me tell you about why this is such a special place for me. First of all, it's right in my own neighborhood. So this place has become a go-to place for me to walk and to pray and to reflect on a nice day, to catch a glimpse of the North Shore Mountains. This has become like a sanctuary in the middle of the city for me. And I think of all of the times I've walked with friends and people from our community as they've shared their stories with me. And this place also reminds me of the families that I've stood with and grieved with as they've buried loved ones. And so as I walk regularly through this place in my own neighborhood, I think of those people and those stories. This is a special place for me. It's, in a word, sacred. Well, as you know, throughout the month of July, we're doing a series called Sacred Spaces, and we're recognizing that sometimes places speak to us, places preach to us. They lift our hearts and thoughts to God in some way. They help us to experience God in a new and tangible way. And so we're inviting you during this summer of staycation for so many to reflect on what are those sacred spaces in your own city and neighborhood. And if you're watching via live stream, let me invite you to take a moment to type into the live stream chat right now what some of those sacred spaces might be for you. Or if you're on social media, to post a picture of a sacred space with the hashtag 10th sacred spaces. I guess if I had to summarize what this place means to me in a word, it would be the word hope. Now, the irony of that is not lost on me. Here I am in a place of great loss, of immense grief, a place that literally depicts death. And yet I'm saying it's a place of hope. And this raises a question. Is it possible in the midst of great loss and grief to find even greater hope? Is it possible that we can find authentic, deep hope in the midst of some of the most difficult experiences of life? Well, to help explore that question for a few moments, I want to refer to a story in the pages of Scripture that's found in John chapter 11. It's a story that touches on these themes of great loss and even greater hope. It's a story that takes place at a tomb, a place that depicts death, a place of sadness and grief. It's a story about two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Now, we know from John chapter 11 that Jesus was very close to this family. Jesus loved to visit them, to visit with Lazarus. And we know that Mary used to love to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. And Martha, well, she was just a good cook. She made a mean chicken pot pie. And so Jesus was often at their home with the disciples. But as we pick up this story, we see that something is wrong, that Lazarus is sick. He's not well. He's actually on his deathbed. And so Mary and Martha do what we would think would be natural. They reach out to Jesus. And in verse 3 of chapter 11, we read, "So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" This makes sense. They reach out to Jesus, believing that he can come and heal their brother. But what doesn't make sense is the verses that follow. Because it says that Jesus received word and yet he delayed. For some unknown, inexplicable reason, Jesus does not come. He intentionally delays. And this delay proves to be consequential because Lazarus dies. And so, friends, in John chapter 11, we have a story of immense loss, of great grief. Mary and Martha are walking with now a hole in their hearts as they experience the loss of their brother. This is a story about loss, about death. More than physical death, I would say, because though all of us are going to experience death one day, before then we're going to experience many, many deaths, many griefs, and many losses that we have to walk through. Perhaps it's the death of a dream that you would say, you know, I always thought my life would be like this, and it's turned out like this. And I grieve the death of that dream. Maybe some of you have experienced the death of a significant relationship, the death of a marriage. And you've wondered, how can I move forward in the midst of this loss? This has turned my world upside down. Or some of you may have experienced the loss of a job or of a career. I have a close friend who worked at the same place for 25 years. Suddenly, unexpectedly, that was taken from him. Maybe some of you have experienced the loss of your health. And with that comes the loss of security and maybe a loss of future plans. This is a story and a place where we're reminded to acknowledge and reflect on what our losses, what our griefs are, what some of those mini deaths might be. I remember meeting with a young woman in our community, and her dream was always to become a doctor. Ever since she was a young girl, her parents were doctors, and everything seemed to be going according to plan. She was in med school, and something came up. She got in a significant conflict with another classmate. And this other classmate made a series of accusations, serious accusations against her. She was suspended from medical school, and it appeared that she was going to be expelled. And while there was an appeal process that was underway, she didn't feel very hopeful about that. And here she was, her entire world had been turned upside down. She was experiencing grief, and the way that she spoke about that loss was the same way someone would speak about the loss of a close friend. This was so part of her identity, she wondered, how can I even go forward? This story reminds us to hold and to acknowledge every loss in our life, big or small. The story reminds us that it's okay, even healthy, to not only express that to God, but to express our disappointment, even our disappointment with God. In verse 21 and 32, Mary and Martha both say the same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. Do you hear the disappointment in Jesus that they have? Have you ever been disappointed with God? That in the middle of your loss, God doesn't seem to be active. He doesn't seem to be present. He seems to be so silent. Mary and Martha are thinking, Jesus, you came over to our house so many times. We're friends, and yet at a time where we really needed you, you weren't there. Why? Have you ever prayed with that level of honesty? Of saying, where were you when I needed you, Jesus? You know, the author C.S. Lewis, the brilliant writer and thinker on the Christian faith. And often I quote him with inspiring quotes, but I found a quote that probably isn't going to be on any C.S. Lewis favorite quotes page. It was something that he wrote after the death of his wife, Joy, in a time of loss and grief. And he wrote this, "I can't understand why God is always there when things are going well, telling you what he expects of you. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is in vain. And what do you find a door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. You may as well turn away, because the longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. And then he writes, "Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in time of trouble?" Friends, this story and this place remind us to bring our loss, our mini death, and our disappointment, and to express that to God. The best prayer is the honest prayer. And as Mary and Martha do this very difficult thing of acknowledging their loss and actually sharing it with Jesus, something happens. Jesus responds in an unexpected way. His response tells us where he is in our time of pain and loss. And in verse 35, John 11:35, we read this, that Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. If you've ever struggled to memorize the Bible, start with John 11:35. It's a short little verse, but it tells us that in the midst of our pain, that Jesus is there, that he weeps with us. Friends, here's the mystery of God, is he is one who doesn't often prevent pain or suffering or loss, but instead in the mystery of God, he enters into it. At the cross, he shows us that he is the God who enters into the suffering and pain and loss of the world and of you and I. But the story doesn't end there. Maybe you're thinking, wait a second, I thought this was a story of great loss. Yes, but what about the great hope? And here at the beginning of verse 38, we see that the story turns. The story turns in a remarkable way. It's been said, don't put a period where God puts a comma. And if we continue to read the story, we see a stunning reversal. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. So they took away the stone. And Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Oh, can you imagine this scene? Here they are weeping and in pain and disappointment. And Jesus says, the story doesn't end here. The story doesn't end with loss, as real and as painful as that is, because watch what I'm going to do. I am, as he would say, the resurrection and the life. And I can bring life and hope into the darkest and bleakest of situations and circumstances. Where does Jesus perform this great miracle? It's at a tomb, at a cemetery, in a place of loss and death. Jesus brings hope and light and joy in a way that Mary and Martha never could have anticipated. Friends, could it be that this story is reminding us that all of our losses, that all of the many deaths we experience, the story doesn't end at the tomb, that there is more? That Jesus can do for us what he did for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That into the most depressing, the most hopeless situations, that Jesus can bring life and hope to us. Think about it this way. You're eating an apple. You're enjoying a delicious BC apple. And you get to the end of it, and all that's left in your hand is a core, a stem, and a few seeds. And usually you do what everyone else does, you discard that, because that is worthless. There's no value left in that. And so you look for a compost bin to throw it in, right? End of story. But of course, what we know is that if a gardener was to take those seeds which are dead, and to plant them in the ground and to cover them with soil. Again, think of the image there of total darkness, On the surface, it doesn't seem like any good can come of that. It seems like the story is over, move on, right? And yet a gardener knows that once he's planted those seeds, to wait with anticipation and hope that something will come. Friends, could this be a little picture of how we are to reframe our grief and our loss and our setbacks and our disappointments and our frustrations and our disappointments with Jesus? Is to see all of those things as in Jesus being planted in the ground. And so then we are filled with a sense of hope to watch and to wait for how God is going to bring resurrection, going to bring life, going to bring a great reversal into our lives. Now, the gardener knows when they plant those seeds that the gardener is not in control of the timing or the outcome. And so it is with us as we acknowledge our griefs and our losses and our disappointments. We don't know the timing of how God is going to use that. We don't even know the outcome of what God might bring out of that. And yet, as people of Christ, we are filled with a sense of hope that what God did for Lazarus and for Mary and Martha, that God will do for us. So into the bleakest of situations, we have hope. We believe that Jesus can bring a surprising reversal. We believe that Jesus can bring a surprising reversal, even in light of one of the most painful experiences, the death of a loved one. That this isn't the end of the story. That Jesus has more. Now, I told you earlier that I often walk through this place with friends, and one of those friends' names is David. And when I walk here with David, I think of a time about 3 years ago. We were here with David and his wife, Linda, and their son, Jamie. And it was a very painful day because it was a day where they were saying goodbye to their youngest son, Kieran. Kieran was just 8 years old, had journeyed with brain cancer. And I remember standing just a few steps away from where I am here with them. It was a day of unimaginable pain and grief. I remember pulling up to that site and seeing a casket for a child, a child-sized casket, and this, that kind of takes your breath away. A day of such grief and pain as they said goodbye to a son and a brother. But as I've walked here many times with my friend David since, we'll often walk to the place where Kieran was buried. And David will go up to that very site, and he'll look down and he'll say something like, "Hey, buddy, I miss you. I miss you and I love you. I will see you soon." And to me, that embodies exactly what it means to live, yes, with great loss, but to live with even an even greater sense of hope. For David, the story of Kieran doesn't end there, as painful as it is. That he can be filled with a genuine sense of hope. Let me just address those of you who are currently experiencing loss and grief and coming to terms with that. Could this story be for you? That this story is a reminder that those losses and griefs, though immensely painful, they're like seeds being buried in the ground. And in Jesus and because of Jesus, we can be filled with hope that what God did for Lazarus, he will do for us. You know, it's been said that your love language is that way that you most naturally receive love. And I think when it comes to God, our love language is often comfort. God, if you love me, keep me from going through pain. Keep me from loss. Keep me from failure and disappointment. That's the way we think that God can show his love to us. But it's been said that God's love language is trust, that he invites us to trust him deeply, that as we acknowledge our pain and our loss and our disappointment, we trust that this isn't the end, that what God did for Lazarus, he can do for us too. May you be filled with hope today. May you hear the words that Mary and Martha heard on that day, as Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he may die, yet will they live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.